week's parsha is Parshas Bullock. You're all aware. I want to speak perhaps one or two in your name, which is also Megea. So you just come back from your trip to Eastern Europe. I'm going to places where there were once upon a time great Yiddish kehillas, and now, unfortunately, there's nothing left. So sometimes people have questions, they wonder, and why and how. So there is a pusik which is written in Sefer Micha, in Perek Vov, where Micha Hanovi says the following words: Zechoy no ma yuatz bulok melech moyov. Remember what Bulok, who was the king of Moav, tried to do against Klal Yisrael. Ima una oisoi Bilam ben Ba'oi. And what Bilam ben Ba'oi answered to Bulok: Leman das tzidkois Hashem. In order that you should understand and appreciate the tzidkois, the righteousness, the midas ha-chesed, which the Rabboin Shloilam performed with Klal Yisrael. So the Novi tells us, don't forget, always remember this Parsha of Parsha's Bulak. Not just this week, because it's the Parsha, but the entire year, Zochono, Ayid should constantly and always remember this story, what Bulak tried to do, what Bilam answered him, Leman das tzidkos Hashem. And I'm sure you're all aware, in many sedirim, you have printed after shachris every day, you have sheish zechirois, six things which many people have a minute to say, that we have, things which we're supposed to remember, zechoy at hashul salak mushul, zuchos shem shabbos lekadshoy, we have zechiris mas samulek, zechiris mas miriam, mamet hasinai. There are six things which one should remember. In the Haredim, one of the very earliest Achroinim, and the Chidor, both write that you should also say every single day this Pusuk in Sefer Micha, where the Novi says, remember. So we've got to remember it an entire year. So there are some Sederim which have printed in Taka this Pusuk in Sefer Micha. So we need to understand what's so important about this story that we need to remember it an entire year. And what does it mean? We should remember what Bullock tried to do and what Bilam answered him. So Rashi explains, remember what Bullock tried to do, we're all aware. What does the Pusik mean and what did Bilam answer him back? When Bullock asked Bilam to curse Klal Yisrael, what did Bilam say to him? He said back to him, "More kavoy loy kuvo kail. How can I curse Klal Yisrael if the Rabbi Nishloilam hasn't cursed them? And how can I evoke an anger, there should be an anger against Klal Yisrael, if the Rabbi Nishloilam is not angry with Klal Yisrael?" There's a sefer for one of the earliest Achroinim, the Chusid Yavetz. His name was Rabbeinu Yosef Yavetz. He lived at the time of the Spanish Inquisition. And he's got a perish on Masechta Silvis. And there in the fifth perek, where the Mishnah mentions the nest of the Pi Ha'osoin, writes the Chusid Yavetz, there is no parsha in the entire Torah which shows us the ahava of the Rabbeinu Shloilam to Klal Yisrael more than this story of Parshas Bullock. Why? Says the Chusid Yavetz as follows: because we know sometimes, unfortunately, there are gezeiros against Yidden, and Yidden come together, and they mispallel to the Rabbeinu Shloilam, that the Rabbeinu Shloilam should help us. And we know, of course, if Yidden do teshiva, and Yidden are davening to the Rabbeinu Shloilam, like it's written in Megillas Esther, Leich kenois kol ha-yidim et simi olai, we make a tannis, we make a zman of tefillah, so the Rabbeinu Shloilam listens to our tefillahs. That we know. But says the Chusid Yavetz, this story of Parshas Bullock took place without the Yidden being aware at all what was going on. It wasn't that the Yidden knew what was going on, that they davened, that they did Shiva. This was something which they were totally unaware of. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo made this nes, Psichas Piha Usain, and made that Bilam should be unable to curse Klal Yisrael. This was all without the involvement of the Yidden. So this shows, says the Chusat Yavetz, more than any other parasha in the Torah, the hava of the Rebbeinu Shloilam to Klal Yisrael, that the Rebbeinu Shloilam does not forsake Klal Yisrael. And the Or HaChayim HaKadosh actually explains with this the words of Bilam, that Bilam said to Bullock, you want me to curse Klal Yisrael? You don't know who Klal Yisrael are. Hein am levudod yishkoin evagoyim loy yischashov. Says the Or HaChaim HaKudosh, you know what Bilam was telling Bullock? Bilam said to Bullock, do you know who Klal Yisrael are? We know there's been many, many great and mighty empires which have come and gone. The Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, more recently the Communists, they thought they're going to change the whole world. Baruch Hashem, it's a butel gevorn, butel im vittel. And the Nazis, Yimach Shemom, when they came to power, Hitler, Yimach Shemoy v'zichroi, said that he's going to make a 1,000-year Reich. That the Nazis are going to become, rule the world. It's going to be an empire which is going to last for 1,000 years. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo has destroyed them. Says Bilam Harusha, but Klal Yisrael is Hein Am Levudod Yishkoi. They are going to be the one and only nation which is here and here to stay, and they're always going to be remaining a Klal Yisrael, and they always will be a Klal Yisrael. La'olam vo'ed neisach netzochim. So says Bilam to Bullock, you think I can curse and uproot and destroy Klal Yisrael? You don't know who you're starting up with. Hein am levudod yishkoin. This is the nation who they alone are going to be yishkoin. They're going to be here and they're here to stay. You can't get rid of them. Evagoyim lo yischashov. They don't operate and they don't function like all other nations which come and go. They suddenly rise up and become famous. They become what's called today a superpower. And then 20, 30, 50 years later, they're gone and you don't hear of them anymore. Evagoyim lo yischashov, they don't operate according to the general normal rules of other nations of the world. You cannot just come along and uproot Klal Yisrael. Last week, I went as well on a tour of Poland and Hungary and other countries with a group of Bukharim from here. And whilst we were touring, so we passed through Warsaw, it was very late at night. And we decided to make a stop outside the new, I don't know what it's called, Holocaust Museum or Jewish Museum, a new museum which had opened there in the center of Warsaw. We didn't go in, it was late at night, it was closed, it was about 12 o'clock at night. But why did we stop outside this museum? Because it is outside the museum, there's a very, very large monument, which this monument must be, I don't know, 10, 20 feet wide and 20, 30 feet tall, a massive, massive monument, which they've made a monument to commemorate the Holocaust, what happened in the Second World War. And I spoke a few words to the Bukharim there, and I said, I see in this monument something totally different. Because one needs to know, where did this stone appear from? This ginormous, massive stone, 10, 20 feet wide and 20, 30 feet high, didn't just appear out of nowhere. This was a stone which Hitler, Yimach Shemoy, v'zichroi, had ordered to be brought over from Norway or from Sweden, I don't remember anymore, which he wanted that this stone should be erected in the center of Warsaw. As his memorial, not memorial, as his victory to destroying Klal Yisrael. Hitler, Yimach Shemoy, was convinced he is going to win the war. He is going to destroy every last Yid in this, on the universe. And there will come a time when nobody remembered at all there was a Jewish race at all. So he's going to set up this stone. This stone is going to tell the story of his victory, how he destroyed Klal Yisrael. So he had this stone specially brought to Warsaw, because Warsaw was the largest Yiddish Gehilla before the war. And that will be the appropriate place for him to have in the center of Warsaw. That stone is going to be put there as a tribute to him over his victory, over eradicating and destroying Klal Yisrael. That was his kavona. So I spoke there, what am I going to say in front of such a stone? And it occurred to me the story of the Ponovozhirov. The Ponovozhirov, after the Second World War, after he'd opened Yeshivas Ponovich, he went collecting various countries in Europe and other places for Yeshivas Ponovich. And he came to Rome, this was some years after the Second World War. In Rome, you have a very, not famous, not infamous, arch called the Arch of Titus. Titus's arch. This arch is almost 2,000 years old and was built by Titus Harusha when he came back after having destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And he came back to Rome and he decided to build an arch as his victory arch, showing how he, Titus Harusha, has destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and he has destroyed Klal Yisrael. And on the arch, very famous, these pictures have been copied in countless books and Sforim. This is, some people speak about it, whether it's accurate. A picture of the Yidden carrying the menorah into Gules and various other kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, with the Roman soldiers whipping them and they're all chained together. Nebuch, you see this Yidden carrying the kelim. And this is the victory arch of Titus Harusha. When the Ponovozhirov arrived in Rome, so there was a Yid still alive at Meva Esrim Shuna. His name is Dr. Rothschild, the founder of the Maine Hashua Hospital in Bnei Brak. And I heard the story from him. It's already printed in many books. The Ponovozhirov had made up with this Dr. Rothschild. He's going to pick him up from the airport and he's going to look after him and take him around to the various addresses where he wants to go collecting. So they arrive in the airport. The Ponovozhirov, naturally, would understand, after there was already an elderly Yid, after this journey from Eretz Yisrael, first place we go, going to the Achsanya to rest a bit and change, said the Ponovozhirov to Dr. Rothschild, before I go anywhere, the first place I want to go to, I want to go to this arch, to see this arch of Titus Harusha. Dr. Rothschild was a bit taken aback. That's not exactly what you would think Ponovozhirov wants to see. That's not pleasant viewing for us to see this victory arch of Titus Harusha destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. That's what we should be going to look at. Didn't understand. But that's what the Ponovozhirov asked for. So, of course, he took the Ponovozhirov, we come there to the center of Rome. The Ponovozhirov gets out of his car. He walks up to this arch, and there in front of this arch, he gives a drusha. And he speaks to the arch, he speaks to Titus Harusha, and he says, Titus Harusha, I've just got off the plane. I've just come from Eretz Yisrael. I've come from Bnei Barak, from the Ponovozh Yeshiva, the largest Mukim Torah in Eretz Yisrael, where hundreds and hundreds of Bukhrim and Yingalad are sitting and learning Torah. And Eretz Yisrael and the entire world, Kehilos are growing, Mekoymas HaTorah are being opened, school, yeshivas, seminaries, Klal Yisrael is rebuilding themselves. We Taka suffered in the war. However, we weren't destroyed. We're still here, and we're here La'olam Vued. Obey you, Titus Harusha. Where are you? Where's your Roman Empire? Who remembers you? You don't exist. You're forgotten about. You're gone. Butlem Avital Ka'afra Da'ara. And with that, he turned around, and he went back into his car. And this is what I said, standing outside this monument there in Warsaw. Here you have this massive, massive stone, which is brought over, was going to be the victory arch of the Nazis, Yemach Shemom, showing how the Nazis have destroyed Klal Yisrael. And the emissary says, Baruch Hashem, v'na poichi, asher yishlti hayehidim, heima besoneihem. The Nazis are gone. They'd gone, it's a crime to make a picture of a swastika. It's a crime in all countries to praise the Nazis. Anybody even speaking favorably about them could be straight away arrested and put into prison. And Klal Yisrael, we are here and we're here to stay. And that's what Bilam Arusha said to Bullock. Bullock, you think you can destroy Klal Yisrael. You don't realize who Klal Yisrael are. Hein am levudod yishkoin. We are here, Klal Yisrael is here, and we are here to stay, and there will always be a Klal Yisrael. So this is what the Novi reminds us. Zuchoyno, remember what Bullock tried. And remember the words which Bilam answered him back. That Bilam said, it's useless. You cannot and nobody cannot destroy Klal Yisrael. So unfortunately, yes, we see there'll be many periods of suffering, whether it should be the Spanish Inquisition, whether it should be the Crusades, whether it should be Khmelnytskyi, whether it should be the Communists, whether it should be the Nazis, whether it should be today, unfortunately, all the Arabs. However, a Yid has always got to strengthen himself with his Amina and his Betuchen. That, yes, it's true, we are in Gulas, and in Gulas we have to go through suffering until we'll be Zoicha to have the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt. However, there always has been a Klal Yisrael, and there always will be a Klal Yisrael. And this is a Moedika Limud, and this is a Moedika, it's a Moedika Chizik for all of us, that we should never chas v'shulem feel somehow that we're lost and we're abandoned. And especially when one comes back from a trip to Eastern Europe, however uplifting it is, and it was, but sometimes one can have deep down this sort of, but why, how, and what's happened, and chas v'shulem what's going to be. So we always have to remember this zechano, remember what Bullock tried, and remember what Bilam answered him. Nobody can ever destroy Klal Yisrael. So Bilam says in this week's parsha, Mo ekoiv, how can I curse them? Loi kuvakel, Reboishim hasn't cursed them. Emo ezoim, how can I become angry at them? Loi zoam Hashem, Hashem is not angry with them. Asks the Or HaChaim HaKodesh, a very obvious question. We know the Reboishim wasn't angry with them. We know the Reboishim didn't curse them. But that's why Bullock is trying to hire Bilam, because although the Reboishim is not angry with him, he wants that somehow Bilam should put a klula on Klal Yisrael. If the Reboishim is angry with them, if the Reboishim is going to curse them, he doesn't need the services of Bilam. He's only trying to take the services of Bilam, Freik Dora Chama Kodesh, because the Reboishim is not angry, because the Reboishim hasn't cursed him. If the Reboishim is going to do it, I don't need to come unto Bilam. Azoi Freik Dora Chama Kodesh Akasha. So writes the Racham HaKodesh a very yesoidistic answer, and he says as follows: we need to understand, how does this work that you can ask somebody to give a klola onto somebody else? Mimo nafshach, if this person is deserving of a punishment, Hashem will punish him anyway without the klola. If he's not deserving of the punishment, so how does it work that somebody puts a claw on him, therefore he's going to be punished? But if he's not deserving of it, how does this work? Says the Or HaChaim HaKodesh, and answers follows. Avada, if somebody is a tzaddik and does not deserve to be punished, it will not help all the clueless in the world. You can curse him from today till tomorrow. Not only will it not work, says the Or HaChaim HaKodesh, the klolas will rebound on the person who gave the klolas, and it'll end up on him. Just like we see, Kol HaMispal Ba'ad Chaveiroi, Hinei Netchila. So if you curse somebody who he doesn't deserve this klola, the klolas rebound and come back on the person giving the klola. However, says the Or HaChaim HaKodesh, we know, Ein Tzadik Be'oretz Asher Ya'aseh Tov Ve'lo Yechtov. Who can genuinely say that they are tzaddik? Who can really say they are tzaddik? So the reason why we see that people are not being punished is because we know there are 13 Yid Gimel Midas Harachmim. The Rebbein Shloilem is Marech Af. He's a Rachim. He's a Chanin. And therefore the Rebbein Shloilem withholds the punishment which people should really be getting, because the Rebbein Shloilem is Midusoy, is Midas Harachmim. But says the Ohr HaChaim HaKodesh, when somebody comes along and he gives a klola, what he is in doing in reality is that he is being ma'oira midas hadin on this person, and the midas hadin then removes the midas harachamim, and because it removes the midas harachamim, then the punishment which this person should have got already, if not for the fact that midas harachamim held it back, will come onto him. This is how the Ohr HaChaim HaKodesh explains the inyan of a klola. So why didn't this strategy of Bilam work? Says Bilam, more kovoi loy kavoi keil. I cannot curse them because the Rebbeinu doesn't curse them. Emu ezoim loy zuam Hashem, and I cannot become angry because Hashem is not angry. Why? Ki meroish tsirim ereni emigvois ashireni. I look up to their shiroshim. I look up to where they come from, and I see loy hibit oven beYakov v'loy ru omo beYisrael. Hashem elikov imoy itzrius melech boy. I see they are constant with the Rebbein Shloilem. Explains the Ohr HaChaim HaKodesh and many other Mephoshim this as follows. What Bilam was saying was, it's true, the Yidden are not perfect. It's true, the Yidden have faults. It's true, sometimes they do slip up. But nevertheless, says Bilam, I still cannot curse them. And this is very important today, because many times, unfortunately, we know today, many people look at themselves as a failure. I'm not perfect. I'm not 100% as I should be. I'm struggling. I slip up. And sometimes people think Hashem's not happy with me. Oh, but the truth is just the opposite. Says Bilam, I'm trying to curse them, but yet I'm unable. Why? Because they hibit oven beYakov v'loy ro'um b'Yisrael. How can it be? Are Yidden 100% perfect? We know Yidden do slip up. However, Zukt Ohr HaChaim HaKodesh and many other Mephoshim, the Zel B'Yisod, the Shem Mishmiel, speaks out Barichas, that a Yid tries his hardest, he tries his best. He means l'shem shemayim, Hashem Elokov imoy. He's doing it because he's trying his best. The Rebbein Shloilem is happy with him. There's a beautiful story from the Chofetz Chaim as follows. The Chofetz Chaim was once walking along, and he bumped into an old acquaintance of his that he hadn't seen for many, many years. And the Chofetz Chaim said to him, tell me, how are you managing what you do for a livelihood? How are you coping? So the Yid said to the Chofetz Chaim, oh, Rebbe, things are absolutely terrible. I'm not managing. I'm a baker by profession, and I bake breads and rolls and cakes. And people come into my store, and they look at my goods, and sometimes I leave it in the oven a bit too long, and it's all black and it's hard. And other times I take it out a bit too early, and it's a bit gooey inside, doesn't look nice. In the old times there were no thermostat controlled ovens like we have today, automatic. You had to put in logs and you had to heat a fire, and sometimes the fire was too big and sometimes the fire was too small. So I work so hard, and yet I struggle to make ends meet. And other times people come in and they just see it's got too much sugar on, too little sugar, too much salt, too little salt, they can't manage. Some years went by, and the First World War broke out, and everybody had to run away. There were refugees. And the Chofetz Chaim was walking along, and he bumped into this Yid who he hadn't seen for so many years. And he stopped and he said to him, tell me, how are you managing in these difficult times? Said the Yid back to the Chofetz Chaim, Rebbe, things are fantastic. I've never, ever had it so good. Chofetz Chaim was taken aback. How can this be? He said, I don't understand. In the relatively good times before the war, when people were managing, then you were moaning and groaning how difficult it is for you. How can it be now, when nobody's managing, when everybody's suffering, that suddenly things are so good? Said the Yid back to the Chofetz Chaim, Rebbe, that's exactly it. Before the war, in the relatively good times, people could afford to be fussy. They would come into my store and they would see the bread and the cakes and the rolls, and it wasn't exactly how they liked it. So they would turn up their noses. Huh? I'm not buying that. They would walk out. But now, there's a war going on. There's a shortage of food. People can't get enough to eat. They can't get enough to eat. They come into my store. They're just happy to buy whatever they can get their hands on. They're not fussy. They're not makpid. It's just a bit overdone, a bit underdone, too much sugar, too little sugar. The shape doesn't look right. Just grab it and buy it, and they're only too happy to buy it. Said the Chofetz Chaim, this is how it goes in Yiddishkeit as well. Avada, once upon a time, there were great generations, Tanuim, Amaruim, Kroiz Tzadikim. Then it's written a avot in the Zoya Kudush, Toira Beloi Dechili Irechimi. Toira, mitzvah, which is performed without true Yirishamayim, without true Ahavas Hashem, Loi Parchas Le'ela, does not go up to Shemayim, is not accepted. But said the Chofetz Chaim, nowadays, Be'ikvas de Mashicha, when everybody is struggling and everybody is finding it difficult, then how you make your rolls, what doesn't make a chilik, what color, what shape, too much sugar, too little sugar, the Rabbi Nisholim is happy. We try our hardest, we try our best. Is the Rabbi Shem is happy? Loi hibit oven be Yaakov, veloi ro oma be Yisrael. Doesn't mean they even didn't do aveiros. They don't have aveiros. Rabbi Nishloilem doesn't look at the aveiros. Why? Because Hashem Eloikov imoi Isrias melech boy. The Rabbi Shem knows we're trying our best. We're trying our hardest. We're trying to serve Hashem. We're trying as best as we can. The Rabbi Nishloilem is happy. As long as we try our best and we try our hardest, this the Rabbi Nishloilem is happy with us, however we are and however much. As long as we try our best. When Bilam Arusha looked at Klal Yisrael, he said a famous pusuk, Matoivi oi halecho Yaakov, mishken oisecho Yisrael. How beautiful, Klal Yisrael, are your houses, are your tents. And we know a famous Rashi, what brought him, what prompted him to say this pusuk, he saw Rosh ha'em pischeyem mechivunim zeh, that the entrances of their houses were not directly opposite one the other, that people couldn't look in one to the other, lived in a sneer-sticker way. This is the push-up shot in the pusuk. However, I want to share with you another idea, another kavuna, al-derech, what we are speaking about as follows. There is a Mishnah in Masechtas Masa Sheni, where the Mishnah speaks about the haluchas of the Beis Hamikdash. We know the Arkabunas Kodshei Kodshim, which can only be eaten in the Beis Hamikdash. You're not allowed to eat them outside the Beis Hamikdash. Says the Mishnah in Masechtas Masa Sheni as follows. This is, I think, in Perek Gimel. That what's the halacha if you to have an underground room, you have a basement, which the basement is going out of the walls of the Beis Hamikdash. So let's say it starts inside the Beis Hamikdash, then it continues outside the Beis Hamikdash, and it continues an underground basement. So the basement is really, when you walk to the end of the basement, you're outside the walls of the Beis Hamikdash. But to get to the basement, to go into the basement, you can only access the basement from the Beis Hamikdash. So the lishkois b'niyois b'choil, it's a lishkan underneath room, which is built b'choil, is built outside the Beis Hamikdash, a pesichois l'koidish. The Pesach is Kodesh, inside the Beis Hamikdash. Now let's say the opposite scenario. You've got an underground basement which is built in the Beis Hamikdash. It goes into the area of the Beis Hamikdash, but it's Pesichos L'Choil. The entrance to this underground chamber is outside the Beis Hamikdash. So although the room is in the area of the Beis Hamikdash, however, To get there, you have to access it from outside the Beis Hamikdash. The Pesach is outside the Beis Hamikdash. So the Shala is, can you eat the Karbonos in these two underground rooms? Yes or no? One of them is an underground room in the Beis Hamikdash, but the entrance is outside. The other one is an underground room outside the Beis Hamikdash, but the entrance is inside the Beis Hamikdash. Says the Mishnah, you don't look where the actual room is. Are you in the Beis Hamikdash or outside the Beis Hamikdash? You look, where is the Pesach? Where is the entrance? So therefore, Lishkois Habaniyois Bechoil, the underground room which is built Bechoil, it's outside the Beis Hamikdash, but Pesichois Bakoidish, the entrance to access it is Bakoidish, it's inside the Beis Hamikdash. You can eat your korban kodshe kodshim in that room. So you can be outside the Beis Hamikdash. I'm sitting in an underground room. It's gone. You can have today, you have all these tunnels. You hear about these tunnels. You have an underground tunnel. And we know today there are koisel tunnels. You can go today. You see these long, long tunnels. You can have an underground tunnel which starts in the Beis Hamikdash and it goes way out the Beis Hamikdash. Because you can only access it per sichos bakoidish, it's considered as if it's part of the Beis Hamikdash, and you can eat in this underground tunnel the kodshei kodshim. And vice versa, you can have a tunnel which goes into the Beis Hamikdash, but because it's pesichos bachoil, because the entrance is bachoil, you can only access from outside. Therefore, it's as if you are outside the Beis Hamikdash, and you're not allowed to eat there a korban, although you're sitting in the area of the Beis Hamikdash. One of the great tzaddikim 150, 170 years ago, the Rapshit Saruf. What do we learn out from this Mishnah? We learn out from this Mishnah a gewaltige yesod, a very important lesson for life. Like we're saying, the ikka goes after your kavuna. You can have a lishka. You can have somebody whose whole day is pesich, is his whole day is involved in choil. Aber the Pesach is bakoidish. His kavona is bakoidish. Do you look where the Pesach is? Where do you come out to? You come out by the Beis Hamikdash. You come out by the Beis Hamikdash. You look after the Pesach. Where you come out to? Where is it bringing you to? It brings you out the Beis Hamikdash. That's where you end up. So that's where you go after. You go after, where is the Pesach? I don't judge him that he's sitting outside the Beis Hamikdash. I look at him by the Pesach. And unfortunately, vice versa is also true. You can have somebody who's sitting the whole day in the Beis Hamedrash. So it's a lishka habaniyos bakhoidish. It's inside the area of the Beis Hamikdash. But unfortunately, pesichos bachoil. The entrance is bachoil. He comes out of this Beis Hamedrash and everything just vanishes, it evaporates. Sahaltzichnish, he goes straight into choil. You look, where is the Pesach? Said Bila Marusha, Matoivi oi halecho Yaakov Mishkenoi secho Yisroel. Why? Rosh ein pischeye mechivunim ze keneged ze. You don't judge a Yid where he is. You judge him where is his Pesach. So you can have a Yid who's trying hard the whole day. He's trying, he doesn't get there. He looks at himself, I'm a failure, I haven't managed. I am like a lishka habaniyos b'choil. I'm a whole day b'choil. I'm just mundane. Says the Mishnah, no. A pesichos b'choidish. Look, where is the Pesach? Where's your she'ifa? Where do you want to come out to? Where are you heading to? What's your tachlis? What's your tafkid? What are you trying to get? If your tafkid, when your tachlis, what you're trying to get is pesichos b'choidish, that's where you're aiming for. So oy bazoi, that is mekadosh the whole area. It's mekadosh the whole day. So although it's lishkas ha-pesichos b'choil, or b'pischeyem b'choidish, that is mekadosh everything. And you can eat the kodshei kodshim, because it's a mukhem kodosh, and your avoider becomes also a mukhem kodosh. So this is what Bilam says. I can't curse Klal Yisrael because they're not doing any avayros. Is it really like that? The whole day you're such a tzaddik? The whole day you're behaving yourself so perfectly? The answer is yes. Why? Because the Pesachim, what's the Pesach? Where are you trying to come out? What are you trying to achieve? Where are you trying to reach to? Is to be an Elah Chayid, to do the Rutzon Hashem. And if a person tries, and that's his She'ifa, even if he slips up on the way, and the bread and the challahs don't come out always as perfect as we want, the Rebbeinu Shem says, I am makabel, I am happy with the way it was, and you don't worry, and it will be fine. The Mogen Avraham writes in Siman Tzadik Ches, and this is quoted in the Mishnah Berurah, a very interesting segilla. A skilla that if it occurs to a person, machshovos zoros, during davening, so he should say the following three words. And you can see how strong this skill is that the Mogen Avraham has to stress that don't say it in the middle of Shmoina Esra. So you can see Lechori could say in other parts of davening. And actually this skill is quoted already in the name of the Arizal. That person can say it a whole day. Machshav Azura, sometimes people, you know, Sfaltan, unfortunately, people get a bit mislaid. They hear things, they see things, it makes a bad impression, can leave a bad impression. How do you get rid of these machshuvas zorois? Brings the Mogen Avraham, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes it in Siman Tzadik Ches, to say three times, P. Also ich weiß. Says the Mishnah Berurah, he tries to explain, what does this mean, P. And he says, it's the Rosh HaTevus of the name of two people. P is somebody called Paltiel ben Laish. It was in the time of David HaMelech. A whole story, the Gemara tells us how he was conquered as Yetzer Hara, an unbelievable story for 22 years. And the Yud is the Yud of Yosef HaTzadik. Paltiel mit Yosef HaTzadik. Both these people were misgaba on the Yetzer Hara, which the Mishnah Berurah means to say, doesn't explain, this is what it means to say. When we are faced with a Nisoyan, think of previous generations who also had Nisyonis and greater Nisyonis than we did, and they managed, that should somehow be a skill, a chizit for us to overcome our Yetzor. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. However, I want to share with you a different machshava, which is Negeya for these sedras that we're learning now. The B'nai Yisroscha quotes from one of their famous Rebbes, the Rebbe Reb Herschel Zidetchover, was a famous Rebbe 150, 170 years ago as well, 200 years ago, who he says, a gewaltige machshava. We know the Mishnah says in the fifth perek of Ovis that there were 10 things which Hashem created bein hashmushes. Of these 10, 3 of them were the pi ha'oretz, pi ha'be'er, and pi ha'osoin. Pi ha'oretz, that was Parshas Korach. Pi ha'oretz, swallowed up Korach. Pi ha'osoin, that was last week's Parsha, Parshas Chikas, pi ha'be'er. Pi ha'be'er was last week's Parsha. The be'er sang Shira, Ali be'er, Enila, which the Be'er Zung Chazal sang a Shira to the Boshim, so the Be'er had a mouth. Pi Ha'osoin is this week's Pasha, is a story of Bullock and Bilam. So we have these three consecutive Sedras, Koirach Chikas Bullock, is Pi Ha'oretz, Pi Ha'Be'er, and Pi Ha'osoin. The Tosfos Yontif writes something very interesting in this mission and others. But normally we understand Pi Ha'oretz refers to the earth opened its mouth, i.e. a crack. There was an earthquake in our language. And the Korach fell into the earth. That's, of course, Pushup Shat. But tells us the Tosfos Yontif that not only did this happen, but there was a Pi Ha'oretz. The earth actually spoke. What did the earth say? It was Madiyah to Klal Yisrael, V'yodi Chayim She'oyla. The Korach and all his Dusan V and all their Chevra, Yodi Chayim She'oyla. They went into the earth, they went into Gehenna. So the earth spoke. So we have the earth speaking, we have the Osoin, we have the Be'er speaking, last week's Pasha, saying Shira, and this week we have the Osoin speaking. A person is davening and he finds it difficult to concentrate. I can't manage. So the Ramban writes this week, why did Hashem make this nest of Pi Ha'osin? This nest of Pi Ha'osin tells us a grosser yesod. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Rabbi Yishon Pasha Shmois, I can't go to speak to Paro. I'm a kvat peh. Or else of the time, I've got a speech impediment. I find it difficult to speak. Says Rabbi Nishloilim, Mi Yusim Peh Le'udon. Who has created a mouth for a person? I have given you a mouth. I can make even somebody who can't speak, I can make him speak. This was the limit to show us that Rabbi Nishloilim can make even an Usoin speak. Boshem made an Usoin speak. The Boshem made an inanimate object speak, the Be'er. The Boshem made the ground speak. If the Rabbi Nishloilim can make inanimate objects, if the Rabbi Nishloilim can make an animal speak, alachas kama v'kama, all of us who we have a mouth, and we are able to speak, how much easier is it for us to be able to speak properly, correctly, and to be able to daven? So when you give up hope, sometimes you think, I can't manage, it just doesn't go. It doesn't go, it's not for me. What should I say? It's not for me. Unfortunately, I hear this very regularly. Brochen tell me, I can't manage, it doesn't go, it's too difficult. So those machshava zorois, you know how you get rid of them? P, P, P. You remind yourself, the Rabbi Yishon can make an inanimate object speak. He can make the ground speak. He can make the bear speak. He can make an usan speak. Alachas kama v'kama. We, who we all have mouths and we're able to speak Baruch Hashem, it's not difficult for us to be able in Mitzvah Hashem to speak correctly, to daven correctly. And this is Taka. This is what Bilam said, I cannot overcome Klal Yisrael. And this is what we have to constantly remember. Zechono, remember, what did Bullock try? What did Bilam answer him? I cannot fight Klal Yisrael. Hein am levuda yishkoin. They are together with Rabbeinu Shel Olam. They'll always be here. Leman dat tzidkas Hashem. Remember that tzidkas Hashem, the hava of the Rabbeinu Shem to Klal Yisrael. Rabbeinu Shem does not forsake Klal Yisrael, ki lo yitosh Hashem es amoy, the Hashem never will forsake Klal Yisrael, and the Mitzvah Hashem we should all be zoicha bekurev to see the Binyan Beis HaMikdash v'mehirev yomeini, amen.